If you've kept your Christmas tree up till today, that's great. I have too. In fact, I don't think I'm going to take it down for a while. I'm just going to leave it up. But mostly it's like customary to leave it past Epiphany, which is tomorrow. And Epiphany is when we celebrate the coming of the three wise men from the East who came to worship the Lord in his presence. The 12 days of Christmas, people think it's like the 12 days before Christmas. Most people do. It's not. It's from Christmas Day to tomorrow. That's the 12 days of Christmas. So I'm just going to leave my tree up for a while. Apparently, from what I studied last year when I was, it's funny, I bring this message every, like the first Sunday of, I sense a theme, the first Sunday of the year. Last year, I said, apparently, if you don't take your tree down like tomorrow, it's like bad or something. I don't know. Well, we're not taking it down for a whole nother week. Good. He's the light of the world. I'm just going to leave it up through February. I don't know. I was so busy this year, I never really got to enjoy it, you know? So I walked in there into my living room the other day. I said, wow, this is really pretty. I'm not going to take it down. Okay, that's very off the point. But I'm going to preach. I'm going to speak to you today on the Ephesians passage. Ephesians is one of my favorite books. I have almost every word underlined, which means I must love it. And sometimes when I have to like really emphasize it again, the ink goes through the page to the next page. You know what I'm saying? I just love Ephesians. So I'm going to look at that passage today. I think we all know pretty well the story of the three wise men coming from the east. They saw the star, the whole thing. So I kind of don't want to repeat that. Let's talk about something new. I want to talk to you about how radical Jesus is. Right? Wow. Hot crowd. So we first need to define radical, because we want to be on the same page with this. Radical, the definition is one who favors extreme changes in existing views, habits, conditions, or institutions. Let's read it again. One who favors extreme changes in existing views, habits, conditions, or institutions. From what we know about Jesus, I think we can all pretty much agree that he was radical. Even if you don't know him that well, or you haven't read the Bible as well as maybe you think you should have, you can kind of grip that Jesus was somewhat radical. His birth was radical. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a birth like his. Foretold for generations, and believed, born to a virgin, his presence was felt by an unborn baby in his great aunt's womb. He was born in a barn, not very fancy, like the barns we have today that are being erected for all these gorgeous weddings. No, a stable, hay, manure, the whole bit. He was born under a huge spotlight in the sky. I mean, God said, hey, there he is. No other child have I known has been born like that. Shepherds, angels, wise men, this is not normal. This is radical. His birth was radical. We don't know much about his childhood, but we do know that he chose to linger in the temple when his parents were heading back from the feast of Passover. And when they came to him, he said, Are you surprised that I would want to be in my father's temple? Well, that's radical. What child would rather hang around church while the mom and dad go to lunch? No, that's radical. And just as we get to know Jesus as a man, I think we can say that he was just really radical, gathering fishermen and others, the outcasts, for friends and followers. He healed somebody, this is just one piece, he healed somebody by spitting on dirt, making mud, and putting it in the guy's eyes, saying, go wash. The guy was healed. That's radical. These are just some of his radical actions. And I want to talk more about the radical mystery that Paul speaks about in Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. I did a study on the word mystery. Mysterium in the Bible means those truths which are part of God's plan and can only be understood as he reveals them by his Spirit through his word, a truth never previously known, and a truth which human intellect could never discover, but one which has now been made known by divine revelation. Okay? This is one of those truths that are in God's plan that we could never understand without his revelation of what it means. This is the word mystery. Not like we know the word mystery, not like suspense or mystery that we have to figure out. This is something we could never understand, we could never figure out on our own. So what Paul says about this mystery of Christ that we read in verses 1 through 13, this mystery was not made known to any other generation, but it was made known to that generation by the Holy Spirit. All the prophecies from the generations before were suddenly revealed and understood in that generation. So what's the mystery? I'm not going to tell you. Paul is. Don't listen to me. The mystery is that through the gospel, which is the good news of the arrival of the Messiah. The gospel is the good news. Let me tell you good news. The Messiah has come. That's the gospel. So through the gospel, the Gentiles, you and me, maybe not all of us are Gentiles. There may be a few Jewish people here who have, you know, accepted the Lord Jesus. But you and I, basically. So through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. We are members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. That's radical. I want to read it from my scripture, my Bible, the NIV, because I was reading it when you guys were, when it was being read this morning, and I thought, oh, they missed one word. The mystery is that, I just read it, but I'm going to read it again. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. With Israel. That's radical. Now do you understand why the Pharisees were like, what? Jesus was turning everything upside down, right? The Gentiles, you and I have equal privilege under the gospel, the arrival of Jesus, and the Jews in particular, that Christ should make his glory sure to them by dwelling in them. That's not right. Only Israel was allowed to have that privilege. But Jesus is saying, no, all the world. That star didn't just shine just for Israel to see, right? Man, it covered the heavens. And when Jesus comes back, guess what? It's not going to be just for those who believe. Everyone will see. And every knee must bow, right? Right? Even if they don't believe now, they're going to go, whoa! I'd fall to my knees, but I can't do that. We are members of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. We share together in this promise. That's completely radical. This blew apart their religious structure. Let's go back to the definition. Where is it? Where is it? There it is. One who favors extreme changes in existing views. That's what Jesus did. He challenged the existing view of the religious leaders, the religious people, and said, I don't think so. We're going to change this around just a little bit. So here's a little bit more from Ephesians 1, 7 through 8, because Paul did reference, you know, I'm going to tell you about this mystery, which I've already kind of spoken to you before. So when he says something like that, you're supposed to go back. What did you say before? Now we're going to go back. Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. In Jesus, we all have redemption through his blood. Forgiveness of sins. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Love that verse, right? We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. 3-5 says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We can't even comprehend that. What actually is every spiritual blessing? What is it? We have no idea. If we can say anything about spiritual blessing, we can probably say about that much. We have no idea. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. God chose us in Jesus before creation of the world to be holy and to be blameless. This gospel, this Jesus is radical. But he's not reckless. When I was thinking about this word radical and I was pondering on what I was going to say, I'm like, yeah, but I got to make sure they understand that it's not like, I'm radical. No, he's here to change your view. He's here to upset what you think is right and say, this is right. But he is not reckless. There's a worship song, and please forgive me if you love the song, but I'm going to like take a little ouchiness with the word reckless. It's a word that the love of God is reckless. And I'm like, no, it's not. Very intentional. The love of God is not reckless. It's not all willy-nilly. Jesus isn't all willy-nilly with his radical being radical. You know what I'm saying? We have to understand that when I say radical, I don't mean reckless. So I was reading that God chose me and Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. And I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know me. I'm an everyday sinner, or I'm a sinner every day. I'm seen as holy. That Jesus would lavish on me the full riches of God. I love that word, lavish. Is it onomatopoeia? Is that the right? Where the word sounds like what it really is, like belch, kind of, or what are some of the other ones that pop? The word sounds like what it is, right? Lavish. I mean, he's gonna pour out. It's not a dribble, not a sprinkle. He's gonna lavish it on me. In all wisdom and understanding. That means he doesn't just bleh. No, he knows me. And in his wisdom and understanding, he pours exactly onto me what I need at that time. Pours it. He pours it out, but in his wisdom and understanding of me and where I am and what I need and where I need to be. That through me and through you. Now, when I say me, I'm also talking about you. You know that, right? Okay. So it's a plural, right? It's a plural me. It's like when my husband says, did we close the garage door? I'm like, we? I closed the garage door. Did you lock the car? Did we lock the car door? We? But in this case, when I say me, I mean you. So that through me and you, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. This is radical. This is radical. That through faith in Jesus Christ, we can approach God in freedom and confidence. That's radical. This is new. This is new stuff that they're hearing. We can approach God. I can approach God with all confidence. Are you kidding me? That I can. We did it this morning. We approached the throne of God with confidence, right? Because of the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. You couldn't do it by yourself. I hate to tell you, Chris, I love you, but you gotta be washed. Where once we were not allowed entrance, we have now been given entrance into God's presence. And not only that, but we can come in confidence. Now that is radical. Where once God was far off and unknown to us, he is, by his choosing resident within us. There are people, this is not on my tablet, there are people who still think God is far off and unattainable and untouchable. They need to know that by Jesus Christ, guess what? They can come with confidence before his throne. While yet sinners, that's what the scripture says. Even those who don't know Christ, full of their sin, can come with confidence into his presence where they can be washed. That's radical. So this is the good news. This is the gospel. That's the mystery. Jesus Christ is living in you. You can do all things through him who lives within you. You can face whatever comes your way this year because of him who lives in you. You have nothing to fear, for he has overcome anything that might even come close to overpowering you. So I want to wrap it up with a little interaction time. And I know that that's opening a whole, you know, Pandora's box, but we're going to do it anyway. Tell me how Jesus was radical. How was he? We're talking about the past. We're talking about how was he radical when he was walking on the streets of Jerusalem? How was he radical? Power with restraint. Healing people. When? On the Sabbath. No, you don't do that. That's radical. I'm going to turn the structure upside down, Jesus said. How else? Walking in the streets of Jerusalem. How was he radical? Water into wine. Not condemning. The woman who came before him, they were throwing stones at her. I don't condemn you. Raising from the dead. Someone over here said something. I had that in here, didn't use it. Flip the tables in the temple. Who does that? But you know what's really cool? Another aside. He flipped the tables of sacrifice, right? Because, yes, thank you. How else was he radical? In the back. Yeah, who does that? Amen. He was man. Right. Steve. Healed. The fishes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. 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 Those with leprosy who were sent off into another whole community, sent away into exile. Right? Right? Tax collectors and sinners, that's radical. Can you see why the Pharisees were like, what? We got to stop this guy. We got to stop him now. He's not following the rules. Right? That's radical, Dave.
He forgave sin.
What? Yeah. Who can do? I was just about to say that. Who has the power to do that, they were saying. You see him, he's forgiven sin. Yeah, he loved women. What? He loved women. He chose women. Excuse me, I'm sorry. He called the Pharisees out. He had the gumption, the power of God. I can do this, right? Cast out demons. How radical is that? I want you to eat my body and drink my blood. You know what? We were talking in my church a couple weeks ago. We're working our way through the book of John. And we have to, every week we have to stop and say, you know what? I don't know for sure if I was on those streets and Jesus was coming through saying stuff like that. What would I really? Radical. What if somebody came through our streets and through our towns saying such radical things against everything we think to be right? What would you, you know what I'm saying? But we know the end of the story, and so we can, but to be honest, I don't know. Okay, that was true confession. Okay, let's go on to how Jesus is radical. That's how he was radical. We know that Jesus was, is, and is to come. Let's talk about how Jesus is radical. Yes. Yes. What other Savior, what other God is alive? What other God that is being worshipped is alive? He's the only one, Marcel.
All of that in the past applies to today because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
You got it. She gets a star. Anybody else? In your life right now, today, how is Jesus radical?
He walks us step by step.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Laura. He's given his Holy Spirit to live inside us. How does that affect you today? He walks step by step. Yes.
He's the one who empowers me to walk step by step because without the Holy Spirit, I couldn't even walk step by step.
Amen. Amen. How many? Yes. Amen. How many of us have gone through something in our lives that we think, there's no way, I don't ever see the end of this. I am just going to keep going down. I don't see an end. How many of us? And what has Jesus done? Brought us through, saved us, healed us.
Always works through people.
Yeah. Yeah, and we want to retreat into our own little hole. Chris.
How about a God of all kingdoms talks to us?
That we can come with confidence into the presence of the God of the universe. No. Uh-uh. That veil was ripped right in half. Gone. Right?
Believing without seeing.
Yeah. I have no idea what you're doing right now, God. I have no idea what you're doing. But I'm gonna walk step by step. You know? That's Jesus. That's how radical he is now. That there is no human answer to the problem that's going on right now. But he has the answer, you know? That's how he is radical now. He is radical in your lives. He has been. And he will be radical. I want you to know as we go into this new year that Jesus will be radical, not reckless. And that's not saying we should be reckless in our beliefs or we should be reckless in what we do with our faith, which is a pearl of precious price. Don't go throwing it around. With all wisdom and understanding, God will give you what you need. He will lavish it out onto you this coming year so that you will step back and say, whoa, that was radical. But Jesus will be radical, but we have to open our minds and open our hearts to allow him to change our existing views. No. To allow him to change our habits. That is one place that he can totally be radical. That he can change our behaviors that are ingrained within us for years. That he can change my self-identity, how I see myself. I'm still working on that. I feel like the Stay Puff Marshmallow in this robe. So first thing I asked Dan, I said, do I have to wear my alb? He said, yes. I went, oh, Stay Puff Marshmallow. I got to change that. I want Jesus to be so radical in my perception of my body that I feel comfortable up here like this. You know what I'm saying? That would be radical for me. But he can do it. In fact, he already has, and that's how he feels about me. But it's my mindset and my behavior and my habits that I have to allow Jesus in there to change that around. Are we willing to let Jesus change our condition? Some people have a mindset of like poverty. Have you heard of like a poverty mindset? Are we going to, can we let Jesus change that condition that we live in? That would be radical. Can we let Jesus change our institution? Our preconceived idea of what the Anglican Church should be. Our preconceived, our belief of what this church should be. And how these people should be behaving. And, right? We can't, but we have to let Jesus change it. We can't say, okay, I'm going to change it and believe this. No. You have to get connected with Jesus. That's the mystery that only God can reveal to you. He has it, and he wants to reveal it to you. And he wants to reveal Jesus's radicalness to you in your mindset and change it in accordance with his. I didn't hear you. In accordance with his. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. To change my mindset in accordance with his will. To change my views in accordance with his will. To change my habits in accordance with his will. My conditions and my institutions in accordance with his will. But no, the way to do that is by getting into his presence, by knowing his will. But we have great confidence because we can come into his presence with confidence and freedom. Right? I just said it. In fact, Jesus said it. Paul said it. We can come with great confidence into his presence and say, Lord, change me. Do a radical work in me. According to your will, let me believe. You know? So I challenge you. Where's the bottom of it? So can we be bold enough this year to open our hearts and our minds to Jesus and allow him to challenge our views and habits and the conditions and the institutions that we have built in our heart and life? But again, it has to be in accordance with his will. So get into his presence, come with confidence and freedom and grace because of the blood of Christ. You can do it. You can, you Gentiles, you can because it says so. We can come. Well, it's already been done. Amen? Amen. Amen.